him in service and surrender. I want you to turn tonight to the Word of God and to the New Testament, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, to a familiar portion of the Word of God, but yet a verse that the Lord has laid very definitely and clearly upon my heart for this meeting tonight. We're just going to read verse number 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Of course, the account is of the Lord's return and ascent back to heaven. And before he does so, he gives them this promise in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Let's just still our hearts again. A word of prayer as we come to the Word of God for tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for all that has taken place already tonight. And we ask, O God, that You'll continue to lead and guide our sister Rachel, we pray. Bless her, Lord, even as Thou hast blessed her over this past year. Be with her, Lord, now as she would return back. And O God, we pray that You just even continue to use her ministry there in Kenya. Lord, even speak on while her voice may be silent to those that she had the opportunity of speaking to. Lord, now as we come to Thy Word for these closing moments of this meeting, we ask, O God, again that we might know and that we might hear the voice of God speaking very clearly. Lord, we pray that You'll take the pages of Scripture and apply them by Thy Holy Spirit to each one of our hearts tonight, we pray. Lord, speak to saint and to sinner alike. Lord, that there will be that word of challenge to each one that's gathered here, we pray tonight. Bless us and give us help to preach and help to hear as we come to Thy Word for this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In this opening chapter of the book of Acts, we have the last earthly encounter between the Lord and His disciples. And I've often wondered just what it would have been like to have been there that day on that mountain. The disciples must have had many different thoughts running through their heads. Many questions that they wanted to ask the Lord that perhaps they had not the opportunity to ask Him before. But now He was ascending back to heaven. And no longer would they have that close proximity to the Lord that they had enjoyed. No longer would they see at first hand the miracles that He had done. No more would they see the people being healed, the lame being made to walk. You see, I believe as we read these words in Acts chapter 1 that this really was a make or break time for His disciples. How would the work of God now carry on? How could the kingdom of God on earth be extended and be advanced? How could the work move forward if the Lord Himself is not with them? What was the point of continuing on if the Lord were not there? They realized they were just mere mortals. The work was beyond their human capabilities. And how could they do it? There was concern in their heart. And I think we see something of this concern by the question that they asked in verse number 6. They say, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Oh, they wanted some great prophetic revelation of the Lord's time scale as to when He might return. But notice the rebuke there in verse number 7. The Lord says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. The Lord was plain in His teaching that there are matters that are not fully and completely revealed to us. The times made mention of there in verse 7 refers to the chronology, the seasons to the specific time when all of these events will occur. But the Lord says that is not for your information. And you know, people today, sad to say, in the Church of Jesus Christ, get so caught up with looking to the stars and looking to the moons and looking to the situations and seeking to work out sometime as to when the Lord might return. And they have the grandest of calculations. They have the spreadsheets all worked out. They have the movements in the solar system, the events in the world, all almost down to a T. And they think they know when the Lord is going to return, although they may not dare enough to say it. Yes, we're living in the last days. That's true. But folks, we've been living in the last days since the Lord returned back to heaven. There is the reality that the Lord is coming again. That's the great joy and hope of the child of God. He is coming back again. But you see, the fact, the reality of the Lord's return is not about speculation, but rather it is about evangelization. Because in the next verse, which is a key verse in the entire book of Acts, what does he say? What does the Lord say to us? We are to be his witnesses. We are not to wonder, rather we are to witness. The word witness is where we get our English word martyr from. We think of a martyr being a witness through their death. But the Lord also wants and requires living witnesses. In fact, those who were martyred for their faith are not martyrs because they died, but because their life was a witness to the Lord, then they are martyrs. They are witnesses. And I think the word witness could be written over every chapter in the book of Acts. Because you read through this book, you'll see it's a book full of activity. It's a book full of energy. A book full of busyness in the Lord's work. And the characters in view are not taken up with prophecy. Rather, they are taken up with preaching. They had a vision. They had a burden. And they saw the great need around them. They saw souls dying and on their way to a lost sinner's hell. And as a church and as a denomination and as individual believers, that is what we need. That's what this church was founded on many years ago. A burden for the lost. A vision for the lost. And that's what we continue to seek to do by God's help. To reach out and to win the lost for Christ. To be witnesses for him. We need to be witnesses in this day in which we live. As we consider very simply tonight the subject before us, the subject that I've entitled, A Witness for the Lord. I want you to see some things here about being this witness for the Lord. Notice, first of all, the summons. The summons. In verse number 8, it says, ye shall be witnesses. Here the Lord clearly summons his disciples. He clearly commands them to be witnesses. You see, this was not an optional extra in their lives. This was not something that they could do if they wished. This was not something that they could leave off doing. No, it was a command. It was something they were to do. They were to be a witness. And it is a summons which they most certainly heeded and carried out. Because in the chapters that follow, we read of how the people of God were witnesses to the power of the gospel in their lives. They did reach out. They did evangelize. They were witnesses. They obeyed the command given to them by the Lord before he ascended back to heaven. And you could write over the entire book of Acts, the witness book. Because through the book of Acts, people are being witnesses for the Lord. People are telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going into places that heretofore had not been reached with the gospel. The people were summoned by the Lord to be a witness, and they answered that summons. They obeyed it. And this is the summons that the Lord still issues to his people today. Ye shall be witnesses. You see, in our sin, we were witnesses. But we were witnesses to the power of sin and Satan. But in salvation, we are to be witnesses to the Lord. And we'll look at that in a few moments. You see, every child of God is called to be a witness. Our sister Rachel is going back to Bible college to train for further service. And in the Lord's will, that he might open up doors of service for her to be a witness. But this summons is not just for a missionary. This summons is not just for the minister. It's not just for the children's worker or the youth worker, whatever. We are all of God's people, we are called to be witnesses. None are excluded. Notice that we'll all witness in different ways, and we will all witness to different people. There are people that you will witness to that I will never be able to witness to. We'll witness with our lives, we'll witness with our conversation, we'll witness with our conduct. But we must all witness to the Lord in some way. You see, our life, child of God, your life must tell for him. Those looking on must see a difference. Those that we come in contact with must hear the words of eternal life, the good news of the gospel that has so changed our lives. That must be lived out, and that must be told out to those around us. Are you witnessing for the Lord? Child of God, are you obeying the summons given by the Lord himself to his people? Are you a witness? Are you telling others the good news of the gospel? Is your life a witness to the saving grace of God in your life? Let me ask it very simply. What is your life a witness to? Because you're either a witness for the Lord, or you're a witness for the devil. Your life is either telling for him, or it's so caught up with the world that it's telling for the things of this world. If you're saved by God's grace, you're called to be a witness. It's not something that we can choose to neglect, or something that we think doesn't apply to us. It most certainly does. There is a summons to witness here. But I want you to see as well in verse number 8, the strength in witnessing. Verse 8 details the strength in our witnessing. Because you see, folks, we cannot do this of ourselves. We cannot go out and tell others of Jesus Christ in our own strength, relying on our own abilities. I know Rachel will have already discovered this, and as she has went to Bible college, you can't try to serve the Lord and try to train for further service on your own abilities. It won't work. You see, for those who today say that I can't witness, today I can't be a witness for the Lord. I'm not that type of person. Well, the Bible here, this verse number 8 tells us that no matter who we are or what we are, there is a resource available to all of God's people as you seek to witness for him and as you seek to live your life for him. Look at the words of verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the strength for our witnessing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That word power there in verse number 8, it's where we get our word dynamite from. It's an explosive power. It speaks of a power beyond our own abilities. It speaks of a supernatural power, that which we do not have of ourselves. And child of God, as you seek to live your life for God, you need that power. As I seek to live my life for God and seek to be a witness in what way I can, I desperately need that power. What will make you an effective witness for the Lord? What will help you in your Christian living for God? It's not your own ability, but rather it is the power of the Holy Spirit working within you. He enables his people to be a witness for him in obedience to the command that he has given. As we think of this strength, notice the change that it brings. Your life is transformed when the Spirit of God takes over your life. In salvation and redemption, the Spirit of God came into your life, dear child of God, and applied the work of redemption to your heart and your life was changed. Before I go any further, let me ask a question. Has that change ever been wrought in your heart and not your life? As you sit here tonight in this church, we are so glad to see you. And we welcome you in the Lord's name. Let me ask you, has your life been changed by the power of God? Are you still tonight in your sin, still controlled and captivated by your sin? The change that you need in your life, the change that this community needs, is people giving their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. You can't change your life by your own efforts. We live today in a society and a culture, and it's all about me. It's all about what I can do, how hard I can work, the best that I can do. But try as you might. Dear unconverted friend in this meeting tonight, try as you might, try as you will, you will never change your life. Only the Holy Spirit coming into your life and applying the finished work of Christ to your heart and life will create that change that you desperately need. That's why you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ tonight. Because as you sit here in this meeting without him, you're a witness to the devil. Well, you'd say to me, but no, I wouldn't do that. I don't do those things or commit those crimes that other people do. I'm not a witness for the devil. Yes, you are. Because if you're not saved by the grace of God, if your sins have not been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, then you're not witnessing for the Lord, then you must be witnessing to sin and Satan. You need to be saved by his grace. Tonight, sinner, you need your sins washed in the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. You need the change that only he can bring. And then for those who are saved, you say, how can I witness? You say to me, you don't know the people I work with. You don't know the people even at home. You don't know the sinfulness of the area in which I live. And how can I be a witness? Well, by the power of God working and dwelling within you, you can. Because when you're controlled and captivated by the Holy Spirit, there will be a change in your life. And I'm not talking about the change that the charismatics talk about. I'm talking about a change of a life wholly dedicated and wholly surrendered to the Lord. Peter, the Apostle Peter, we know him as one who denied the Lord. We know him as one who sat with the world when he should have been standing by the Savior. But you come into the second chapter of the book of Acts, and you find this man standing up and preaching on the day of Pentecost, and many hundreds of souls being saved. There was a change in this man's life. What was the secret? What enabled Peter, the one who had denied the Lord previously, now to stand up and defend the Lord, and to preach the gospel, and to be a witness? What was the secret? It was the power of the Spirit that enabled him. And that power is still available today. And that is the power that we still need today. We're going to be a witness for the Lord in obedience to his command. Then we must earnestly plead with the Lord for the enduement of this power to stand for him. This is a sinful, evil, wicked world. A place that is no friend to the child of God. Naturally speaking, it would make us run from being a witness. But you see, when you have the power of God resting in your life, and you have the power of God reigning supreme in your life, you experience that power in a supernatural way, then you will be an effective witness for the Lord. Dear believer, dear child of God today, if you haven't experienced the power of God in your life, that infilling, you get on your knees before Almighty God, and you plead with God to fill you with His power to work in you and to work through you. That's the chains that you need in order to be a witness. It was that which changed Peter's Christian life, and it will be the same strength that will change your life as well. The strength that produced a change, it also produced courage. As you read through the chapters of Acts, and you read the accounts of the great accomplishments of those people of God, there's one outstanding characteristic, I believe, and that is courage. You see, they were bold in their defense of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean an arrogance, but a boldness to stand up for what is right. If there's one thing more than anything else, if we're honest, that keeps us from witnessing at home, in the workplace, wherever, it's a fear. A fear. A fear of what might happen if I were to give someone a gospel tract. A fear of what might happen if I were to invite somebody along to the church. Fear can often hold us back from being a witness. And if I'm honest with you, fear has often gripped my heart in witnessing for the Lord. You walk up to someone's door to seek to invite them along to the church or to a gospel mission or to whatever. You don't know what you're going to find on the other side of that door. And you could find many things, dogs included. You don't know what sort of a reaction you're going to get. And sometimes that fear can hold us back from being a witness. When someone at work or at school or at college or whatever takes the Lord's name in vain and uses all sorts of foul language, fear can hold us back from saying anything. The Holy Spirit within us gives us the courage to witness and to be a witness for the Lord. Oh, don't let the devil intimidate you in your witnessing for Him. Determine this week, in the days that lie before us in the will of God, in the week that lies before us, that you're going to be a witness for the Lord, that you're going to take a stand for the Lord, and that you're going to make your life count for Him. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that will give you that courage. This strength produces a change, it produces courage, but it also produces compassion. And how we need, as the people of God, to have a real deep compassion and love for those that are lost in sin. Our sister Rachel is training for future service, whether that be in this land or in other lands. We don't need to go to foreign lands to find the darkness and the debauchery of sin. We take a few steps from the front door of this church, we'll find people, meet people whose lives are ruined and wrecked by sin. And rather than being critical, we need to be compassionate. We need to have a love for their souls. We need to see them not as trees walking, but we need to see them as souls on their way to a lost sinner's hell. If there's one thing that has gripped my heart, certainly, since I've come here, it's what it must be. What it must be for people to die in their sin. For people to die without Christ. We've had many funerals, as you know that, since we've come. Some, many, thank God, I know they're saved, redeemed today, they're with the Lord. Others, I don't. And does it really move us? Is it just going through the motions? People today, right now, in our city, in this area, Ballyhackamore, lost, they're dying, they're going to hell. Does that concern us, as it should? Do we have a compassion for them? Are we comfortable in our own surroundings? Oh, God, give us that compassionate heart, even as the Savior had. He looked across the city of Jerusalem and he was moved with compassion. God, give us that compassionate heart. Summons in our witnessing, the strength in our witnessing. But notice as well in verse number 8, the subject of our witnessing. In the middle part of the verse, number 8, it says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. That is, unto Christ. You see, he is the substance of our witnessing, the subject of our witnessing. It's all about Christ. Just as John the Baptist cried all those years ago, so our cry today is, behold, not ourselves, but behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And you see, folks, in whatever form our witnessing may take, it's all about pointing men to him. The word witness itself is a legal term. It means a person who has seen something and gives a report about what they have seen. In many legal cases, witnesses are called on both sides of the case. They're called to give an account of what they know, what they saw, and in theory, they are to help the case of those that have called them to be a witness. And as a witness for the Lord, we are called to give an account of what the Lord has done in our lives. We are called before the people of this world and commanded to be a witness to the grace and to the goodness and to the saving power of God in our lives. We're not called to talk about ourselves. We're not called to talk about our church. We're called to be witnesses unto Christ. Our life, our lips, our conversation, our conduct, they should all point men and women to him. They should all be a witness for him. We live in a world that's dying. We live in a world that's lost. We live in a world that's perishing. And we need to tell them of Christ. Only he can change their lives. But as the world looks on us, as the world looks on you, as the world looks on me, believer, does he see something different in our lives? Does the world look on you, dear child of God, and see something that they do not have? Is your life marked by a difference? Is your life marked by distinction from this world? Because if the world can't see a difference in your life as a believer, then why would they see the need to be saved? If the child of God can continue on in the world and do the things that the world does and go to the places that the world goes to and speak like the world and act like the world, well then why would the world see the need to be saved if they don't see a difference in our lives? Little hymn asks the question, are you walking in the footsteps of the one that you call Lord? Are you living each day by his holy word? Surrendered completely, are you his through and through? Can the world see Jesus? See Jesus in you? Can the world see Jesus in you? Can they see his love in the things that you do? Are you living the life? Are you faithful and true? Can the world see Jesus? See Jesus in you? the summons, the strength, the subject, but finally, as we close tonight, notice the scope. The scope of our witnessing here, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and on to the uttermost part of the earth. That's the scope of our witnessing. Notice where witnessing is to start, Jerusalem, for those disciples that was home. Witnessing starts at home. You start to witness for the Lord in the place that the Lord has now placed you. That may mean literally in the home, in the family, hard and difficult though it may be. And yet what a witness. Living out your Christian life before your unsaved family members in the home, I believe that's a tremendous witness. Letting your love for the Lord shine through to those unsaved members of your family. Living your life before the unsaved members of your family. What a powerful witness that is. But as well, here in your home church, that's the best place to start witnessing for the Lord. What about seeking to serve Him here in this church? We encourage as many people as possible to become involved in the work of God here. To witness for Him in this church. That's what Rachel did. Rachel was a tremendous witness in this church. She worked for God and she lived for God in the place that God had placed her. You see, God proves us in our own home turf before He calls us to witness in other places. People who say that they feel the call of God to some far-off place to witness, and yet they would never give out a gospel tract at home. They would never get involved in the work of God at home. That's not the way it works. You start at the home mission field. Then in all Judea, that's the close neighborhood. A little further out from the home territory, the workplace, the neighborhood, the local area, and then on to the uttermost part of the earth. You see, there are no boundaries as far as the scope of our witnessing is concerned. Wherever we go, we are to be witnesses. We're never off duty. In the home, in the work, in the college, university, the farmyard, wherever, we're all called to be witnesses. And while we may not be able to go to foreign mission fields ourselves, and while the Lord may never call you to the foreign mission field, yet we are to pray and we are commanded to pray for those who do go and be a witness for Him in the foreign mission field. But before I close tonight, while I've said that we're not all called to go to far-off lands, yet maybe in this meeting tonight, in this church tonight, God is putting His hand upon some young person. God is putting His hand upon someone, and He is calling you to go. We have said farewell to Rachel. We've said as well farewell to Philip. We give them up to the work of God. And if God is calling you, God is commanding you to go to train for service, for witness for Him, then go. Go. Don't hold back from God. God wants you in some foreign land, then go. Are you a witness for the Lord? Are you witnessing for Him, or who are you witnessing for? What does your life witness for? If you're here without Christ, then I pray that this night, rather than witnessing for the world and sin and Satan, that your life would be transformed, your life would be changed by the power of God working in your heart and life, and you've been saved. If you are redeemed, you are a child of God, then make sure your life is a witness for Him wherever you go. make your life count for the Lord. That's what Rachel is doing. She's making her life count for the Lord. Make sure tonight, Christian, your life counts for Him and is a witness to Him.